Let's turn to Job, the book of Job, chapter 1. And I shall read to you the whole chapter, all 22 verses. Job, chapter 1, verse 1 to 22. And the topic of our sermon this morning is faith under trial. I think we can learn a whole lot of spiritual lessons from Job himself. Let's read Job chapter 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned, and cursed God in their hearts." Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil." Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, "The oxen were plowing, and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "The fire of God is fallen from heaven, and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "The Chaldeans made out 3 bands, and fell upon the camels, and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another, and said, "Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness, and smote the 4 corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." Then Job arose, and rent his mantle, and shaved his head, and fell upon the ground, and worshipped, and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Faith under trial. You know, trials and disasters, pain and suffering are part and parcel of our life here on earth. We are living in a sin-cursed world. This world is plagued by sin. And so we see floods and typhoons and hurricanes and tornadoes and earthquakes, drought and famine, disease and death, war and murder, the stresses and pressures of life and work. All these are daily reminders that we are living in a fallen world. And this world has rebelled against God. This world has broken the commandments of God. This world is cursed by sin. And that's why we see all these evil, all these tragedies and disasters. And all this is due to sin. And so the question we want to ask is not so much, why do we suffer? Why do we suffer in this world? Why do we suffer in this life? The question we want to ask is not, how can I deal with suffering either? The question we want to ask as we look at the book of Job, especially in chapter 1, is what kind of faith do we have? We say we believe in God. We say we are trusting the living and true God. We say that Jesus Christ is our Savior. We say we have faith in Him and we trust in Him and we believe in Him. Well, what kind of faith do we have? That is the focus of the book of Job. Understand that the book of Job is not focused on suffering. The suffering here of Job was incidental. But the teaching here of the book of Job is that we might know what kind of faith we have. And here the book of Job is trying to tell us to examine ourselves and to ascertain the kind of faith that we have. We say we have faith. We profess faith. But do we really possess faith? Especially when our faith is put on trial. When we go through pain and suffering in life, when tragedies and disasters befall us, will we still believe in the Lord? How will we respond and react to all these things in our life? To pain and suffering, tragedies and disasters. So the book of Job really is a doctrinal book. It teaches us a most important doctrine that all of us need to understand. And it is the doctrine of faith. The doctrine of faith. So here in the book of Job, it's not trying to tell us why. Why is there suffering in this world? Why do bad things happen to good people? It is really trying to teach us what kind of faith we ought to have in the Lord Jesus Christ, in our God. Is our faith true faith or false faith? Is it genuine faith? And we can learn from the example of Job. And here we find Job being called a perfect and an upright man. One that feareth God. And he also hated evil. He eschewed evil. So here Job was a believer, clearly stated by God Himself, not only in verse 1, but also in verse 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? You know, Satan came in the picture at this juncture. And he laid a false accusation against Job. And his false accusation is found in verse 9. After the commendation of Job and of Job's faith, and what kind of man he was. A perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and stewardeth evil. Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Doth Job fear God for nothing? This is a very wicked, evil, and malicious charge against Job." And Satan is the accuser of the brethren and the father of lies. And he accuses us before God. He will misrepresent us. He will slander us. And he will speak evil of us before God. And here he did to Job. Does Job fear God for naught? Does Job believe in God for nothing? And Job said, and Satan said to God, "You know why Job believes in you and fears you? Because you bless him with all these good things." And Job was a very rich man. He was indeed blessed with material things. And we learn that he was from the land of Uz, right, in the very first verse. And Uz is also mentioned in Lamentations chapter 4, verse 21. And it is the place, a city, at the end, all right, at the southern tip of the Dead Sea, the area of Edom. And that is where Petra is today. If you have been to the Holy Land and you have visited the rock city of Petra, well, that's the region where the land of Uz was. And then in Jeremiah 25, verse 20, it tells us that it is a land of kings, land of kings. And it's found in a very fertile piece of land. It was a land of plenty, the land of Uz. And we also told that Job was a very wealthy man. And he possessed a lot of oxen, a lot of asses, a lot of camels. And he had, you know, a wonderful family. Lovely wife. And then we are told that he has 7 sons and 3 daughters. A man who was very blessed by the Lord with material things. And he was also a man of standing in society in the place where he was. He had a very great household, many servants, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. He was the greatest of all men, not only very wealthy, the wealthiest, but also very powerful and very famous. The greatest of all the men of the East. You know, by today's standards, he would be living in a developed first world conditions and country. And who is the richest man today in the world? Who is the richest man in the East, in Asia? Well, Job would belong to that category of, you know, those who are rich and famous. But not only was he materially rich, the Bible tells us that he was also spiritually rich. In verse 1, we read that he was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And Satan was not pleased with this. He wanted Job to fall. He wanted to destroy Job. And so leveled a false accusation against Job. And not only against Job, but also against God. Why did Job believe and fear you? It's because you bless him with all these things. He had everything going for him. Health and wealth, beautiful wife, 7 sons, 3 daughters. And in terms of his wealth, well, you can say he would be someone who has a job, 1 job, 2 houses, 3 cars, 4 country clubs, 5-figure paycheck. I mean, what more can a man ask for? He had everything going for him. And Satan says, it's because he has all these things and you have given him all these things, that's why he believes in you. Have we believed in God because of all these reasons? Because of the material blessings that he has given to us? He has blessed us physically, and that's why we believe in the Lord. Is our faith that kind of a faith that is based on material possessions and blessings that the Lord has given to us? Should our faith be because of this reason? That's a question we want to ask this morning as well. And when Satan accused Job falsely in such a way, he was also accusing God. He was insinuating, well, the faith of Job, the belief and fear of Job was bought by you. You bribed him. You gave him all these things so that he might believe in you, so that he would believe in you. Is this the case? So there's not just one lie here, or one false accusation. It's a double lie and double accusation against not only Job, but also against God. You see? And Satan is such a person, such a wicked and evil, malicious person. But what God says is true of Job. God knew the heart of Job. And he is described as perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And it was spoken twice, in verse 1 and in verse 8. And so what does it mean here? When God described Job as perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. Four things were described of Job here. First, he was perfect. He was perfect. Now here, the word perfect doesn't mean that Job was sinlessly perfect. There's no one who is sinlessly perfect on earth, save the Lord Jesus Christ. Although we have believed in Christ, the sin nature is still within us. And that's why daily we still struggle with sin. One day we will be sinlessly perfect, and that's when the Lord Jesus returns. And when we are given our glorified body, our resurrected body, then sin will be totally obliterated. So here the word perfect does not mean sinless perfection. It means someone who is morally without fault. Someone full of moral integrity. He lived by principles, right? And he was blameless in the sight of human society. A morally honest man, okay? Perfect in that sense. And he was also upright. In other words, he was straight. He was honest. He was law-abiding. He did not deviate from God's standards. Number three, he was God-fearing. In other words, he was a spiritual man. He was a believer. He knew God in an intimate way. He had a personal relationship with God, and he worshipped God, the living and true God. He was born again, in other words. And then fourthly, he eschews evil. He abhors. He hates evil. He hates and rejects sin and wickedness and anything that goes against the word of God. So he is described in all these ways. So Job is not just a believer in terms of profession in his words, but he was also a believer in his deeds, right, in his life. He was a true believer, and God knew his heart. And what God said of Job was true, but Satan challenged the truthfulness of God's word. And he also challenged the genuineness of Job's faith. And so, what did God do? God was not intimidated by Satan, not at all. Right? And then the Lord told Satan in verse 12. We read here, and the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath, all that Job possesses, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. Right? So God gave permission to Satan to afflict Job, to take away the things that he had. The only thing is he must not touch the life, the body or the life of Job. That is out of bounds to Satan. But all that he has, his possessions, his family members, right? Now I give you power to afflict him in these areas. But his body and his life you cannot touch. And this tells us a whole lot about our God. He is almighty, all-powerful. Satan may be powerful, but he is not all-powerful. Only God is all-powerful. And if Satan wants to afflict us, he must first have God's permission. Without God's permission, he can do nothing to us. He can do nothing against us. He needed God's permission. And only when God allowed him to afflict Job, then he went to do his business. Otherwise, he was totally powerless to do anything to God's children. And that is a comforting thought, isn't it? So please don't think that God and Satan are two equal forces. A yin and a yang. Light and darkness are two equal forces. And they are fighting against each other. Sometimes light will win. Sometimes darkness will win. They are equal. They are not equal. Right? And this is one proof. God is above all, even above the evil one, Satan himself. And Satan cannot do anything without God's permission. Take note. And over here we see Job being put to the test. His faith was sorely tried. And in a single day, Job lost everything. In one day, everything was completely taken away from him. His sons and daughters, they all killed, right? And all his animals, his servants, his possessions, everything he lost in one day. And the report came one by one like a tsunami, isn't it? Before the servant could finish his report of a disaster that happened, another disaster was reported to him, and another. And everything was practically wiped out. And he was reduced to zero. Someone who was the wealthiest in the East at that time was reduced to zero. In one day, if this were to happen to you, how would you respond? How would you react? Can this kind of a thing happen today or not? Can. You know, just a few weeks ago, you might have read in the papers how this lady in Malaysia lost her loved ones, three of them, in a short time, in a matter of 6 weeks. She lost three of her family members. The first one was her grandfather, who died of asthma. And then 2 weeks later, the husband died of cancer. And then a few weeks later, her eldest son, just 12 years old, went to the beach for a swim and then was swept away by the wave and drowned. In a matter of 6 weeks, three of her loved ones were taken away from her. So such disasters and tragedies can happen to our lives. But as believers, how should we respond? What should go through our minds and our hearts when these things befall us? We must be prepared when our faith is being tested like this, so severely, so sorely. And Job was tested. When these things happen to us, how would we respond? Would we shout angrily at God and raise an angry fist against him and tell God, why me? Why me? Surely I don't deserve such things. How can you allow such things to happen to me? We may complain against God like this. And we may even argue with God that he is very unjust and unfair. Have I not served you diligently? Do I not come to church on Sunday every week to keep the Lord's Day holy? I've obeyed your commandments, have I not? I even come to church early. I even attend Sunday school. I even go for the night classes. I even serve. I give my tithes and my offerings faithfully. I keep my quiet time. I serve you in so many areas. Why do you do this to me? Sometimes we may think like this. God, you're really unfair and you're unjust. Will we respond to God in such a way when such things happen to us? God forbid that even such things should enter into our minds and our hearts. Will we start cursing and swearing at God when times are bad, when we go through crisis, tragedies and disasters in our life? Will we then reject Christ as our Lord and Savior and say, because all these happen, surely there is no God? And Jesus Christ is not true. And we deny Him and reject Him as Savior. Will we do that? And that reveals what kind of faith we have. Do we have true faith or false faith? For if we have genuine and true faith, we will not respond angrily at God. We will not blame Him for anything. We will not murmur and complain against Him. We will not question Him at all. We will keep on believing in Him. How did Job respond? How did Job respond? Let's look at verses 20 and 22. Here, when Job immediately received news, one after the other, of tragedy and disaster that had befallen him, and now he's finished, he is reduced to nothing and zero. Everything is taken away from him in one day. How did he respond? Right, verse 20 tells us, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. Here, five things are told to us concerning what Job did. Firstly, he arose. In other words, he was mentally alert. He was not fainting, right? It was not semi-conscious. Yes, all these news hit him hard. But his mind was ready. His mind was prepared. He was mentally alert. Job had always been watchful. Watchful over his spiritual health. He knew his God. He was mentally alert. He was not about to faint. He was not in a state of shock. Number two, it is said here that he rent his mantle. Now, this is not a sign of anger when he tore or rent his mantle, but this is a sign of grief and sorrow. Sign of grief and sorrow. Because when such things happen, we don't expect to be happy. These are sad and sorrowful news, worthy of grief. And he was grieving. He was sorry. He was sorrowing. And then thirdly, we see that he shaved his head. Now, take note that the shaving of the head is a deliberate action. Now, he was not in a fit of anger tearing his hair, right? But he shaved his head. And that was a deliberate act of personal humiliation. Of personal humiliation. So from these actions, we see that the emotions that welled up within him, that within Job, when we receive all these tragic news, were not those of anger or rebellion against God, but of deep sorrow and sadness, and of humility, great humility. All right? And then we are told also over here in verse 20, fourthly, he fell down upon the ground. He fell down upon the ground. This is not that he suddenly fainted, but he fell down on the ground prostrate before God, which is a position of holy obeisance. Holy obeisance. Lord, I will submit to your will. If this is your will for my life, I humbly submit myself. I fall to the ground in submission to your will in my life. And then, last point, recorded here that he worshipped God, he glorified God, he praised God. He counted all joy. And he could go through all these diverse temptations, testings and trials. He never complained against God. He did not swear at God. He did not accuse God, but glorified God. And by so doing, indeed, Job demonstrated how he was a perfect and upright man. Right? Not only in the eyes of men, but in the eyes of God, more importantly, he was truly a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and stewards evil. And by so doing, Job proved that the words of God were true. Because that was what God said of Job, as Satan is a liar. My faith in God was a genuine faith. I did not believe in God because he blessed me with all these things. I believe in God because I realize, I understand that I'm a sinner, that I'm totally condemned, hopeless and helpless without the Lord. That's why I believe on him. And Christ is my Savior. I have eternal life. What are these things? I look for the heavenly kingdom. And that's why I believe in the Lord. Because I'm a sinful man. I don't deserve at all these things. And all these things that I've received. So all by the grace of God. All by the grace of God. He understood that, you see. And then in verse 21, he says this: naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Right? You know what? Job knew his theology. Job knew his God. Job knew the scriptures. And in this time of crisis and tragedy and disaster, it is the word of God that has strengthened him. Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. I came into this world with nothing. I shall leave this world with nothing at all. These things that I have and now taken away from me, I began with none of these things. And I don't deserve these things either. God has given them to me, and it's up to him, according to his sovereign will, to take them all away from me. What can I say? I just have to thank God for it. Praise his name and glorify him. For God knows what he's doing. He makes no mistake, you see. And God never makes any mistakes. And Job here knows that God is perfect. He makes no mistakes. If these things happen to him, it is not a mistake. God makes no mistake. He knows his God. And by so doing, he did not charge God foolishly. Do you know your God? What kind of God you have? His character, his nature. You must know your God and know him very well. And if you know your God, you will know how to respond to him in the right way that will glorify his name in times of such crisis. Right? And so, have you spent time knowing your God? No, our daily devotions are very important. Do we spend our time reading the Bible and praying every day? And seeking to obey his word. Do we spend time meditating on God's word? Reading, studying. Not just reading the RPG. That is good. But we also need to engage in an intensive, systematic study of the Holy Scriptures. Have we read through the whole Bible? Have we studied through the whole Bible? It is an ongoing process. We must keep on doing it. And I would urge you to make time, make the effort to study God intensively and systematically, and be filled and saturated, immersed with the words of God. And it's when we are immersed with the words of God, which are life, it's the word of life. It will bring life to us. It will give us wisdom. It will give us knowledge. You know, Job was able to say all these things with a full head and with a heart filled with God's word and God's wisdom and knowledge. These things were not said out of an empty mind, an empty heart. His faith was solid because it is based on the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if you don't have the word of God, or your knowledge of God's word is limited, you find very hard to exercise the kind of faith that God wants you to exercise. So know God's word deeply. And then your faith will become stronger. And the Holy Spirit will cause you to remember the words. And the Holy Spirit will counsel you through the scriptures when you meet with trials and testings, difficulties and hardships of life. The Holy Spirit will counsel you. You don't even have to call your pastor or anyone. But when you go through, you seek the Lord in prayer. And the Holy Spirit from within you, who indwells you, will give you wisdom, knowledge, and give you strength through what? His word. To help you overcome all the struggles of life that you're going through. Well, that was how Job dealt with his crisis, with his problems. Yes, the Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. Are we able to say this? Lord, you have given to me all these things. So thank you very much. Don't take them away, okay? Do we say this to God? The Lord has indeed blessed us. And if the Lord were to take them all away, it is only His right. And, you know, right now with all the material possessions that we have, that the Lord has blessed us with, the question we want to ask is, how have we used all these things He has blessed us with to serve Him, to extend His kingdom? Have we just received all these blessings from God and then enjoy it for ourselves? Or have we used all these possessions that we have, even our children, right, our family, for God's use and for God's purpose? What if the Lord were to say, I want, you know, your brightest son, your most intelligent, most promising, full of potential, your brightest son to serve me full time? Would you be willing to give up your son? Many a time we give things to the Lord, we give the last of all, the least of all. This son not so clever, Lord, I give to you. The most clever, the most intelligent, the most promising one, I want him to go to the university. Send him even abroad, all right, for further studies. Let him make a mark in the world. But the least, I give it to you. Do we offer to the Lord our best or our least? We must offer to the Lord not only our least, we also want to give him our best. And if the Lord were to say, I want your son, the best one, are we prepared to give him up? Will we be fully supportive if the Lord were to call our children, our sons and daughters, to serve him full time? If the Lord were to ask of all our silver and gold, will we give our all to him, all the money that we have? Will we? It's also a test of faith. Our Heavenly Father, who loves us, has indeed provided for us. And the Lord, you know, asks us only for a tenth of what He has given to us. Have we even given to Him our tenth, our tithe? We earn $1,000, $100, a tenth belongs to Him. And we put it in the offering bag. And I must make sure I do this every month, every time. Do we do this? Our tenth? We earn 10,000. A tenth is what? 1,000. If we earn 100,000, it will be 10,000. Do we give to the Lord a tenth of what He has given to us? Take note, your paycheck comes from the Lord also. Everything that we receive comes from Him. The Lord has given us the strength to work. He is the one who has promoted us. And if we have enjoying such prosperity and good success, do we obey His commandment of tithing to Him? Just a tenth? Or do we make our own discounts? You know, sometimes we make our discounts. A tenth is not our gross, but after I paid all my bills and spend all I need to spend, and then what is remaining? The tenth is from there. Do we justify our giving like this? A tenth is all that the Lord has given to us. And from there, one tenth belongs to Him. So even our giving, the giving of our tithe, It's a test of our faith. How do we give to the Lord? And when we go through sickness and disease, and we are afflicted bodily, well, we are tested. How do we respond to all these trials in life? How we respond to all these things will reveal the kind of faith that we have, whether it's true faith or false faith, genuine or counterfeit or fake faith. I pray all of us may have true faith. And that's why we can be thankful to God. If the Lord puts us through all these trials and testings, it is to test us and also to that we might examine ourselves and to be very sure in our own hearts whether we belong to Him or not. And if we go through all these trials and testings and we come forth like gold, like Job, and we still confess the Lord and still glorify Him and still bear a shining testimony for Him, and people can see this in our life and then glorify God for it, and not only will God's people be blessed, but you yourself will be blessed, because the Lord will give you the joy and the peace, and you are very sure in your heart that you belong to Him. Because no ordinary person without the Holy Spirit can go through all these things that Job went through and then come out praising God and glorifying Him. The natural man will curse God and die. Where is God? There's no God if I go through all these things, isn't it? That is what the natural man, the man without the Spirit, the unbeliever will say. But if you're a true believer, you will not say these things. Such a response from Job is a supernatural response that can only come if you're spiritually alive and your faith is genuine and true. So we must have faith in the Lord. The faith, the kind of faith that Job has. What kind of faith? The Apostle James tells us what kind. You turn to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Here you have an inspired commentary of Job's experience and a description of Job's faith. Right? Let's look at Job chapter 5. James chapter 5 and verse 11. Says here, "Take my brethren, the prophet who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." Ye have heard, we have just studied, right, the patience of Job. Job's faith is a faith characterized by patience. And the word here has the idea of endurance. Someone being put under immense and intense pressure and weight and stress, and he doesn't crack up, doesn't break up. Right? The patience or the endurance. And not just endurance, it's super endurance here. That's the sense of the word here. You have heard of the patience, the endurance of Job. True faith, if you have true faith, one of the characteristics of true faith is endurance. True faith is enduring faith. No matter what, you will keep on believing. Not only in good times, but also in bad times. You will keep on confessing Christ, believing in Him. You will never deny Him. You always praise His name, no matter what. Okay? True faith is not mercenary faith, but unconditional faith. I believe in the Lord no matter what happens. There's one time I went for evangelism, knocking on doors, and I came to this particular house, knocked on the door, or rang the doorbell, door opened, and there was a rather stern-looking man, looking at me. So I introduced myself, I'm so-and-so, and I'm a Christian, and I want to share with you the good news of Jesus Christ. And before I could even go further, he said, "If your Jesus Christ can give me $1 million, I'll believe." Well, that is mercenary kind of faith. I believe only if I can get something out of Him. I guess asking for $1 million from Jesus would be easier than playing the game, who wants to be a millionaire, right? You have to answer all those questions. But is this the kind of faith that God wants us to have?
You know, many churches today, the mega churches, charismatic churches, preach such a gospel. Health and a wealth gospel. Gongxi fa cai kind of gospel. Prosperity gospel. Believe in Jesus Christ, you'll be healthy, you'll be rich, you'll be successful, and so on and so forth. And so people believe, and they want to get all these things. Is that true faith? Is that true gospel? If you believe in Jesus Christ because of all these things, and when you don't get all these things, what would you do? You'll deny Him. And you'll forsake Him. So why do we believe in Christ? Have we believed on the true gospel? I understand. I know. I'm a sinner. I know I'll be judged by God. I know I deserve to go to hell. But I thank God. He sent His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for my sins on the cross, was buried on the third day, rose from the dead. He says I must believe on Him in order to be saved, for my sins to be forgiven. And on this, for this reason, I believe in the Lord. I know who He is. I know who I am. And I want to make peace with God. That's the only reason. So in good times and bad times, whatever it is, everything belongs to God. He giveth, He taketh away. And I know He makes no mistakes. It's for a good purpose. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And Job's life was blessed. After he was tested, the Lord blessed him, even with much more than he had in the beginning. So what kind of faith do we have? Let us not have a mercenary type of faith, but faith that is unconditional. No matter what, O Lord, I will believe and I will keep on believing until the very end, in good times and in bad times. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the good example that Job has set for us. We thank Thee for the book of Job that You have given to us in the Scriptures so that we might learn from it. Help us to examine ourselves, that our faith is truly a genuine one. And grant us, O Lord, Thy grace, that our faith might be a continuing one, a patient one, an enduring one, an overcoming one, that it will last even until the day of Christ. So, Lord, keep us and preserve us by Thy power. Deliver us from all evil. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.